Okay, I'm just getting things set up here. Make list. Page. Filter page. Course activity. Video. And we'll just put the new video URL in here. One, there's the other, okay, and we'll update this page. So I've got some diagnostics happening here, so publish, okay. Ooh, this one come a bunch of times, no, it's just the once. All right, and now we will do the course activity slides. So this session is called Diagnostic, Descriptive Diagnostic and Predictive Analytics. No Zoom to join, so okay, submit that, and then we'll publish that as the page. Publish. Okay, and now we'll just put up our title screen. And wait till noon for this to start. Title screen. Yeah, I do have a PowerPoint presentation kicking around here somewhere. Yeah, I do. How about that? That's not really the one I want, so let's open. That's pretty good. We'll just run that as the slideshow. There we go, and we'll just... Oh, right. We'll close off the other one. And so we'll leave that as our startup slide for a few seconds so that I know how to cue the video. Boy, lots of input noise. Don't know why. Let's, because I'm going to be doing more typing, let's muffle the typing. That should help quite a bit. Ooh, that was pretty noisy. So I don't know, it is reporting some background noise here. Let's maybe pull back the audio input capture a little bit. Yeah, that's better. Oh, and I'll close the door and that'll help too. Alright. Let's make this puppy go. Hi everyone, I'm Stephen Downs. Welcome once again to Ethics Analytics and the Duty of Care. We're right in the middle of Module 2. Which is applications of analytics. It's Wednesday, and we're going to focus on these applications on the left-hand side. But before we do that, first a couple of things, just some housekeeping. I sent out the assignment, and I'm happy to report. So let's look at the website here. So there it is, and actually this isn't the website, this is the Inside Grasshopper view that I have, but when I list the applications, now I added DataMart and tracking, and other people have added some. I see, and they've taken it from the transcript. That's pretty cool. Clustering, AI generated content, spam detection, guess if email is spam, and then test is something that I've been working on. So we've got those. What I did as the assignment is I asked you to, in fact, why don't we just go straight to the MOOC itself. So here we are. Let me get rid of this so you don't see all the diagnostics. Course newsletter. This is yesterday's newsletter that we'll have a look at. So I gave you a task to review the presentation and consider whether any additional applications could be added to the list. And that was quite literally interpreted by whoever submitted those. So fine, that's cool. And to go to the add application page. So here's the page that I asked you to go to. Put in the application title, pick a category, and submit a description. Then the second part of that, and that all works, so you should feel free to do that, although as you'll see, it'll get a little bit harder as we go on. The second part was to add a link. So here's the link, and then after you submit the link, you are supposed to be presented with a selection of options. I'll just put in a fake link and you'll see what I mean. Okay, so here's the fake link, right? And then I wanted you to add the categorization. These are the applications, including the new ones that were added, right? This isn't working at the moment. I'm diagnosing it. I'm almost there. There's some small problem in it. I've sorted out the big problems, but there's some small problem in what's coming back from the server. And in fact, I can look at it. Here's the error. Get element by ID is null. That's because the JSON parse is a little bit wrong. And when I look at I don't have those. Oh, right, here we go. Nope. So, yeah, anyhow, I've got a JSON parse issue, and I'm not sure exactly what the problem is, but I'm very close to finding it. So, I'm going to work on that after I do this presentation. So, the presentation, because of my technical difficulties, I have no slides. So what I'm going to do is kill two birds with one stone. Sorry about the expression. I know that that's anti-animal and anti-bird, but it's a great expression. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the course. We'll get rid of this diagnostics here. And we'll even leave this, we don't need this at the moment. We'll leave this entirely. There we go. And now we'll go here. And how do I want to do this? Actually, no, it'd be easier, I think, to, ethics.mooc.ca. We'll go to the submission form. I think that'll actually be slightly easier. So I'm going to go to this page, add application, and I'm going to use the description in the text that I've written. Now, if you're wondering where that text is, it's a bit hard to find. You look at the length of the link. But I'll maybe put the link to this text in today's newsletter so you can actually see it. Although we'll be able to see it all in the course itself. So I've already put in Data Mart and Data Lake. So these are descriptive analytics. So Data Mart and Data Lake are concepts that you find in institutional business intelligence environments. I wish I could just pop to that link, eh? Oh, wouldn't that be cool? So, let's see if I can't quickly. All right, I can do that. Data Mart. I bet you we'll get a nice image here, if nothing else. So, oh, let's close that as well, which we don't need. Yeah, so here we go. This is your data warehouse. And inside, you see what happens is you have your operational systems that are out there in the world. And marketing, sales, etc. Then you have an integration layer, which brings it all together. It might clean the data, it might do some crosswalks on the data, etc. And then it brings it all into a single data vault. You might call this as well a data lake, depending. But the whole idea is it's this big pool of data. And then from that, you get different views. And each one of these views of the data is called a data mart. And a view might focus on specific fields. It might do some interpretation. It might take raw data and present it in the form of a graph, etc. So let's keep that as our first slide. In fact, why don't I build some slides while we're doing this, and we'll kill three birds with one stone. I know, that's terrible, isn't it? So, okay, I'm just going to put this to this side here. And where did we go? There it is, and here it is. So I'm going to copy that image, pop it into the slide. There we go, and I'll copy that link. Oh, this is Wikipedia, is it? So let's visit the link. Yeah, it is. Oh, that's nice. That's all I know. I can use that. And so. So this is just raw. See what I've done here is I've just tossed that into a page and then kept it with the link. So I'll keep doing those along the side. All right, so that's the first descriptive application. A second descriptive application is tracking. And there's quite a bit more here because tracking is a fairly wide application. I could probably subdivide this into different applications, but basically with tracking, as it says here, assets are tracked by scanning barcode labels or by using tags that broadcast their location, etc. There are different technologies that are used for that, which are described in this reference. And we can track not only goods and vehicles, we can also track people. I saw a link today where facial recognition is being used to track people in a school. You've probably seen that. Call tracking is a subset of tracking where incoming calls to a call center are tracked in order to identify and analyze trends in access requests. So we have that. Similarly, web-based tracking systems. If you look any website in the world is going to have an access log. Inside the access log, there are IP values, which is the host of the person making the request, maybe a referrer, which tells us where the request came from. Possibly a geographical location, possibly a search string, certainly a precise time, and that tells us about patterns in access to our own websites. So that kind of tracking is called first party tracking. Now, if you put what's sometimes called a web bug, or basically an image or piece of JavaScript or whatever from a third party, which is usually an ad serving network or maybe Google Analytics or something like that, again, the user is being tracked, but not by you, the person offering the website, but by this third party. And so that's called third party tracking. All of this brings in data that's used in learning analytics. And then the first instance of use of that data is the presentation of that data for tracking, for informational purposes. So I'm going to create a new slide, which will be tracking. And I wonder if we can get a nice image for tracking. Web tracking. There's quite a bit of stuff here, right? Let's see. I like this web tracking. Yeah, it's a bit. 5 web visitor tracking tools. I like that image. We'll use that image. So I'll just copy the image, put it on the page. And as always, because, you know, we should credit our sources, we'll visit the site and we'll link to it. And that becomes a link that will be used in our presentation. And ultimately will be a reference that we're using in the course, but we'll come back to how we do that later. So because this is an educational nonprofit purpose, and because I'm discussing this, I'm considering that my use of this is fair use. Although if you own any of these images, let me know, and I will certainly remove them, because not because I feel like I have to, but because I feel like I want to. If you don't want your image in my course, then I don't want it in there either. I mean, that's my philosophy on that. Moving on now, systems analysis. So this is data that compares one method to another. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to copy this. I'm going to go to our form. Where did our form go? There it is. So put that in, systems analysis. And can't spell. And it is descriptive. I'm going to submit it. Okay, and now this categorization won't work, so I'll just back up so that I can use this again. But if we look now at our list of applications, we will see that systems analysis has been added. And if we look at it, we will see that it's in the descriptive category. I really need to make that display look a little bit better. Haven't added a link, haven't added a module, but the module I'll probably remove from this, but the link, we're going to have a mechanism for adding links to all of these applications. We've already seen that as part 2 of our assignment, and that's where this is going to show up. Okay. So systems analysis. So, you know, you would do things like compare the speed of different algorithms, or compare the output maybe of different image processing tools, etc. So trade-off studies and the results of an A/B study would be a good example of a systems analysis. So let's see if we can't find something good for that. I know it's so cheap just doing it, but I mean, this really is a great way to populate. It's a great way to populate your slideshows. And as well, I find doing it like this, this is getting a little meta, isn't it? But I find doing it like this is also a really great way of finding new resources on the subject that I'm interested in. This is page views by browser family. Okay, let's just look at systems analysis. Look for something in particular. Yeah, here we go. Okay, not so good. Systems development methods. No. Context of systems analysis. Nice image, but way too detailed. External systems. None of this is what I'm really looking for. Evaluate utility. That's pretty nice. Systems analysis. This is a nice, a relatively straightforward of systems analysis. Let's see. That's a nice description of structured analysis, which is part of systems analysis. You know, see, we're looking, and you see what we're doing here, right? I'm working through this concept, systems analysis. There's by essay online, data flow diagram. Data flow diagrams are really useful kind of diagram and would be used in a systems analysis. This is an ER diagram showing what a database looks like. So that's not really technically a part of systems analysis. Okay, this is the various types of analytics thrown into a system here. Systems analysis, let's go back here. Oh, well, this is pretty good. Systems analysis, it's a five-stage continuous process. Steps in systems analysis and design, same sort of thing. Systems and here we go, we got a winner. Systems analysis and control with progress, platform, select preferred alternative, requirements analysis. I like that. That's the closest to what I see as this concept of systems analysis. So I'll throw that into my slides. I've lost my slides. There they are. Here we are. We'll add a page. New slide. Systems analysis, and just put that in, and now we'll make sure that we find where we found this. Oops, why? Where'd it go? Well, it's in here somewhere. See, this is what happens to me. I'm like, where did it go? Where did it go? No. It's so hard to do. Like, I'm really quite sure that I didn't close it. Oh, I hate this. There's got to be a better way of doing this. And that's all of them. Did I close it? Couldn't have closed it. Maybe it's sitting on... No. Sorry about that, everyone. I must have closed it. How weird is that? Okay, here's my image. See, there's no... Oh, there it is. Why is it... Okay. Yeah, now we'll visit. This is what happens when you get old. And you have things like this happening to you. So now I'm just going to add that to my presentation page so that I have a reference to that. All right, so moving along, what else do we have for descriptive analytics? Institutional compliance. This is kind of a different sort of analysis in the sense that we're comparing two things. On the one hand, we're comparing, do I have two versions of this going? Yeah, I do. That's my problem. Let's close that. So on the one hand, we have the institutional environment itself that we're looking at. Oh, I didn't really want to do it in this application, but while we're here now. On the other hand, we have the data from the organization that sets the conditions under which something should comply. So, basically it's standard versus existing application. Let's make sure. This is why I didn't want to do this. I'm stuck in the middle of my diagnostic stuff. But now I have it here, institutional compliance. So we have what the institution is doing, what the standards are, and the descriptive analytics is a comparison of the two. So it is a different type from systems analysis in a sense. So I'm going to include it as a separate application. And you can see how this can be really arbitrary, how we describe, how we categorize these things, can't we? We don't have to call it, something separate. We could say that it's a type of systems analysis, maybe. But, systems analysis is more for software. Institutional compliance is more for institutions, for companies, for businesses. So here we have some examples here. Well, we have a nice institutional compliance program at Princeton, Office of Institutional Compliance. So there'll be stuff like that. And then we have these process type charts, which are too complex. We don't really need that. Risk management, audit, etc. It's not quite what I have in mind. Risk detection, risk governance. So institutional compliance would certainly include risk, but isn't only risk. What else do we have here? organization chart. Not really relevant. So here we have support and reporting operations for supervisor or for survivors of sexual assault. Again, part of systems compliance, but not the whole thing by any means. We might not have a nice handy dandy image that we can use. Although it's, I should look at the images at the top because often these are the better images. Institutional compatibility. Ensuring institutional compliance. Taxonomy for ensuring institutional compliance. That's pretty nice. It's pretty complex, but it lets us know, like, this application, and it is an application, is definitely a complex affair in and of itself, and that's what we'll find. All of these applications are complex in and of themselves, and we're just thinking of them as an application, but each application of an AI or analytics system is going to tie us into something that, first of all, already exists, and secondly, already involves a fairly significant manual sort of process. And I think that's important to recognize. It's not that we're creating new ways of describing things. It's that we're automating existing ways of describing things. So here's another type of descriptive analytics. Very simple, student profiles. There's a few things that we can say about student profiles, but first I'll put this in here. So, student profiles is our title. And so if we look at the text here, we can see marketing staff can access and use identity graphs compiled from separate sources in order to create a composite profile of an individual person. So structurally, this is very similar to the data lake that we looked at earlier, the data lake and then the data mart. So we're gathering information from multiple sources and then creating this identity graph of a student. But of course, it's a bit more focused. It's focused on people generally and students specifically. And so I think we can treat this as a separate type of application for analytics, especially when we talk about applications of analytics in learning. So I'm going to add that as a page in the slides, student profiles. And for my image, what I'm going to look for are identity graphs, because I mentioned them specifically, and we should get some nice images. So here we go. This is a So these are all the sources of information for identity graphs, the IP addresses. And remember, we see these on our website. I just mentioned that mobile ad IDs, landlines, phones, names and addresses, social networking handles, email addresses, and more. So this is a good slide. I wonder if we have a better one. CRM device, yeah, that's pretty good. Let's look at this, an identity graph. This is identity graph triangulation. So we have partial data from different sources. We triangulate and realize that we can fit that data together to form an identity graph. Here's a case of tracking without an identity graph, which is a separate issue. Here's, again, another identity graph. It's the same image as the one we saw down here, except this one is nice and this one is white on purple. I like this. Maybe I'll use this. It's pretty visually oriented. It does show clearly the different kinds of things that are used. And so, and it's a nice soft image to use on the web. I know, by soft image, I mean it has comfortable colors. It's a PNG with transparent background, so it'll go with whatever background I'm using. It's not garish, like bright blue, etc. So here we go, and here's the source, a company called True Influence, which tells us what the purpose of these things is. I'm talking about them in an educational context, and I'm linking back, so I'm pretty sure I'm good on the copyright scale here, the fair use, or in Canada it's called fair dealing. I'm always thinking about that, right? You know, am I just taking somebody's stuff and representing it as my own? No, that's not on, right? Am I just taking stuff and monetizing it in some way? No, that's not on. Am I taking stuff, using it for an educational or commentary purpose, not making a dime off of it, and actually probably helping the company in the first place? Yeah, okay, that's fair dealing, and that's perfectly legal. And so that's what I'm up to here. All right, so let's close these off, and I can close this one off. This is how I get multiple tabs, right? This is all of that these links and searches that I do. Dashboard is your classic paradigm instance of descriptive analytics. So we probably know intuitively what a dashboard is. There's a bit of a longish description here, but which I'll copy and put into our record. So let's dashboard. So the application title is dashboard, and it's descriptive. So we'll submit it, and there it is. So lovely. So what is a dashboard? It's usually a visual presentation of different types of descriptive data, often placed side by side so you can juxtapose them and maybe identify trends just by looking at them. They're widely used in learning analytics. There's an example here, Elements of Success from the University of Iowa. They can be used both by the institution and its professors, and as well by students. So you have, you know, either a provider facing dashboard or a client facing dashboard, and you might call the third one, I guess, an institutionally facing dashboard. Lots of references in this little section here. We're gonna have some fun with that later, but for now we've got it submitted. And let's just find ourselves an image for dashboard. Yeah, let's see. We've seen these. We've all seen these all over the place. So let's even get something more specific. Learning analytics dashboard. And so here we go. Oh, did I see one from Brightspace? Thought I did. They've been working on this for a very long time. So, and here, yeah, this is from something from Elucidat. This is from Neural Designer, whatever that is. But you can see, right, module information, engagement, assessment, student information, etc. Very typical learning analytics dashboard. I'll use this, I think, because it's a simple image. It's good quality. It's not actually referring to a specific student or even a specific institution. It's a company that could probably use the business. 5 applications of learning analytics. Here we go. So, you know, so it's interesting, right? They've found 5 applications of learning analytics. We've found 6 applications of learning analytics in this one category. So I find that very interesting. So, you know, and this is a big reason why I'm offering this course, is that you know, people have this fairly shallow understanding of learning analytics, and I want this understanding to be deeper. We're at 35 minutes, so I don't want to go too much longer than that, but let's show you what I'm doing with this now. So we have these analytics, so let's look at these applications rather. So here we have these applications. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a simple way of viewing them. So I'm going to make a view, list view. No, I'm going to make a new view. So, and I'm going to call it application underscore summary. So we're gonna get all of this diagnostics again. Sorry about that. So H1, no, let's just make it bold. Application title. And then we'll have the application description. And that's it. Real simple. Okay, it's just so simple, right? And so now I'm going to make a page. And so I'll make a new page, list page, new page. Okay, so applications, descriptive. Or maybe I'll just do it like this. Descriptive applications, descriptive. Applications. That's good enough. A, B, C, sorry again. And I'll put my page header in. And A, B, C, at least I know the data is going in. Page footer. All right. Oh, that doesn't seem to have gone in. That's kind of weird. All right, page description. I'll just use the title again. I often just leave this blank. I really shouldn't. A, B, C. That's weird that that didn't go in. B, C. Page footer. There we go. There we go. That makes me happier. And now, so what I'm going to do is keyword db equals application format equals summary all, oops, summary all, and let's see what the page looks like. List page, I'm going to publish it, and oops, no file to print it to, so let's give it a location, descriptive, analytics, HTM, that'll do. Now we'll publish it. And let's have a look at it. Open link in new tab. And nothing. Ah, man. Why? That should have been something. Okay, let's edit. Let's give it a headline so we at least have something. Alphabetical order, why not? And I'll give it a number, way more than I need. I'm just trying to figure out why I'm not seeing anything, because I really should be seeing stuff. All right, now let's try publishing the page again. And let's reload it. Still nothing? Not even the title? Okay, well that's pretty weird. Anyhow, so I don't know why that's not working. That is very strange. Let's remove this and see if we at least get the headline. Page. See headline. Well, you're getting to see a little bit here. behind the scenes. And as you can see, it can be pretty messy behind the scenes. There's our title. So for some reason, my keyword command wasn't working. Edit. DB equals applications. Let's look at some other page to see if I'm just forgetting something that I should remember. Those are post. List pages. List page. If I have the list of modules, it's pretty much the same sort of thing, right? So course contents. Forget what I've called that page. Course outline. So here we are. Keyword DB equals module, sort equals number. Oh, okay. Format equals outline. Oh, yeah. Simple. So let's find our page. Descriptive applications. Alright, so okay, DB equals application, format equals summary. I'm pretty sure that's what I called the format. Sort equals title. Don't need to put that there. And I don't need a number and all. Okay, so let's try publishing this again. It should show all the modules. It's not even showing all the modules. And that's weird. So I've broken something, probably in this business of trying to fix or make something. So I'll just leave it there. Eventually that page will work and we'll have this nice list of applications, and then we'll go even beyond that. Because what I'll be doing is I'll show each application and then I'll show all the links or all the resources that we've added for each application, and we'll be able to see elements of the course graph as we build the course graph. I'm really annoyed that this isn't working because this should work. And I don't know why it's not working. Oh, I'm so annoyed. Let's see if I even just remove this. I mean, it's probably something to do with the fact that application is a brand new type of data that I've created for this course. Page, publish. And now let's see if I get anything new. No, I'm not even getting modules. So I've broken it somehow. I don't know how. So I'll have to stop and fix that, and I'll report the rest of that in my ongoing series, Building a MOOC. But meanwhile, to continue, I'll be doing videos talking about the other types of applications. I'll try to make them better videos with actual slides, so that we're not spending so much time on all of the stuff that's happening in the background. But I thought you might enjoy this. And also, I ran out of time doing a whole bunch of other stuff, including the coding that hasn't been going well this week. So this is what we have for today. So I hope you enjoyed that. And I'll see you all tomorrow at noon for another video presentation, or 5, because that's what I owe you now. So talk to you soon.